As an honored fellow attending the Digital Book World Conference in New York City, Chasvin Judadisharak is as eager as any to learn how technology is transforming the book business. Her perspective, though, makes Chasvin's reactions especially worth hearing. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book, reporting from the Digital Book World Conference in New York. Chasvin Judadisharak traveled here from her native Thailand, where a generation of young readers enjoy greater access than ever to reading on their smartphones and other devices. She founded Silkworm Books in 1987, and over nearly three decades, Silkworm and Judadisharak have earned a reputation for producing quality English-language books on the culture and society of Southeast Asia. Chasvin Judadisharak began learning the art of the book trade from a very young age when her parents founded the Suriwong Book Center, the first bookstore in Thailand outside of Bangkok in her hometown of Chiang Mai in northern Thailand. And Chasvin Judadisharak joins me now. Welcome to Beyond the Book.
Hello. Good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you join us because we found each other at lunch and started chatting about the world of books, the digital book world, and you were telling me about some of the interesting experiences and perspective that you have coming from Thailand and from Asia, and I thought it would be important for listeners to hear from you about that because really it's so difficult these days to remind ourselves of the global nature of everything we do. We're local and global at the same time, and a smartphone is a smartphone. The internet is the internet wherever you go, but people's practices, the culture, all of those are different, and they make a real difference, I'm sure, in the media world. So I guess I would like to start with by saying, as you travel from Thailand to the United States, what's the first thing you notice that's different about publishing, about the book world?
I think the significance, actually, it's in this conference. I think the print book are more or less the same. However, in Thailand and in Southeast Asia as a whole, we don't have the distribution system as strong as in the States and in the Western world. Therefore, the practice, it's quite a different. For example, there's no seasonal sales. That's one thing. Second thing is a sales report is quite different. And I can speak to that because I have my book distributed in the States, so I know how big different they are between the two worlds. And in digital world, it's not as big as in the States, of course, even though I think they said statistically urban Thai owns two smartphones. But our involvement in digital besides social media, I think it's less than how you integrate it in your life.
And for the book world, it must be a moment of great opportunity for you because on the print side of things, distribution channels, networks, those are all difficult to build, very expensive. And in a country developing as Thailand is, there are other priorities. But once you can put that smartphone into the hand of a youth, whether they are in an urban area or in a rural area, they suddenly have tremendous access.
Exactly. The world's open for them. But whether it had translated into real life and whether it generated revenues or it have other impact, right now that I can say that using internet have a lot of social impact and e-commerce is start to springs in Southeast Asia. But because of the banking system, transfer money and transaction is still not convenient. And yet, there's a lot of rooms to grow.
And the players in Asia, in Thailand specifically, but across the continent, which is, of course, speaking for a great many countries and a great many cultures, the players are different. The U.S. players are there, I'm sure, Google and Amazon and Facebook and even Apple. But are they the predominant players? Are there names that we would not recognize?
No, but... Amazon is not yet in Southeast Asia. I think they're quite big in terms of selling digital books in Singapore, but not the rest of the region. And I think that's have to do with copyrights and, you know, territories' rights and that sort of thing. And languages, that's playing a key role. But Google, it's very big. And Apple, because of the hardware, it's iPhones and iPads and other devices. But no, unlike China, that they have Alibaba and another one is Weibo. But no, in Thailand, it's still not. And I mean, every service provider have to go through telephone providers.
Is there a language barrier? Do average Thais then have to be able to go back and forth between communicating and reading and consuming media in their own language and then perhaps in another more international language like English? Do they have to make that bridge all the time?
For Thailand, yes, because, you know, we have our alphabet. It's unlike Vietnamese or Bahasa Indonesia and Bahasa Malay that you use Roman. So for Roman alphabet to transform into digital books, it's easier. But for Thai, it's very complicated. And this also applies for Myanmar language, Cambodians, and Laos.
What then are the local people doing to be able to consume media? Are they limited in their choices? Are they creating work themselves? Are they publishing work themselves?
We publish work ourselves. But this is in Thailand. I think in Laos there's still limitations. And Cambodia and Burma also that have limitations.
But are you seeing the rise of independent publishing or even self-publishing as well?
Oh, yes. Definitely, of course. Especially in Thailand, I think self-publishing become sort of coming up. But, you know, it's unlike the West. I mean, in the States and in UK, self-publishing was sort of become significant in the past 5 years. But in our part of the world, because of the publishing system and the distribution system is not that strong, people do self-publish all the time. And nothing wrong with that. So at the last previous IPA Congress in Bangkok, we were debating whether self-publishing should be an issue. And I said that wouldn't be interest of Thai audience because we have been doing it for, I don't know, since I was born half a century ago or something like that.
So there's no stigma attached to it. People feel like, well, if I want to express myself, I'll just publish a book.
Exactly.
Now, take us back to when you were learning the book trade in that bookstore that your parents owned in Chiang Mai. Paint the picture of that. What was it like? Was there a very limited selection? I imagine it must have been a real challenge just to get books around the country.
Oh, yes, because, you know, logistics is also an issue at the time. I mean, we used to have to, I mean, everything was transporting by train, and later on the highway was built, and, you know, it was faster with delivery trucks and etc. But my father has imported books since the 60s. So I grew up and have color comics come from UK and the US, so that was fine. I mean, but you know, at the time we haven't had televisions, but I do get comics from the UK, so that was cool.
So you had an idea of Western culture based on the comic books.
Exactly. I still remember my first Peanuts and, you know, all the Marvel's comics.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, the other question that is much on the minds of people here at Digital Book World is about the rights that are available to them to publish work around the world. I mean, there is clearly a global demand, but it's up against all the various types of national contracts and regional contracts that have been traditional in publishing, and those are beginning to break down. But it still is an important business point and an important legal point. Is that seen as a challenge? How do people confront the copyright issue in your part of the world?
The piracy rate has been very high. In Thailand, for publishing, it's improving. People are more aware of copyright, but in terms of other products, I think we still on a sort of, what you call it, World Trade Organized Watch, or you know, you name it. And recently we have a huge dispute across the border between Thai and Cambodia. They were, the border market, and they sell off the fake brand name. And the French embassy was making a lot of complaint to the Thai government. So Thai government sent people from intellectual property department to crack down the market. And the Cambodian vendor fought back, and actually they hurt the officer. They beat up the government vehicles. And lately, they even put up the protest that they couldn't make a living if Thai government keep cracking down them. So it's kind of a riot. But then we have this social media and people comment that, look, you infringe copyright and you still want to make a protest? You know, and the Cambodian government was so upset, not with Thai government, but with their own people, with the attitude that they don't get it. And my book that's on Cambodian titles, on Cambodian history, was heavily pirated in Cambodia.
I suppose you should take it as a sign of popularity and all of that, but clearly there's an issue there. Your practice is to respect rights and to obtain the kinds of permissions you need for licensing, and you'd want to see others do that as well. So you think, and I know you hold workshops. You in 2005 you organized a kind of a regional publishing group called the Mekong Press, which is working throughout that area in Myanmar, otherwise known as Burma, in Laos and Vietnam and so forth, and you conduct workshops and seminars. Is this question of copyright and piracy and licensing a topic that is much discussed?
Yes and no. I mean, people would like to know it, but at the same time, the economic reason that people are attempting to violate it, but they don't want to say it, is still very embarrassing. But it's not that they can totally avoid the temptations. And we will try to explain that, you know, it will hurt us in the long run, and we have to think in the opposite way, that especially for Thai people, that we have more creativity, economy than our neighbors, and we are the one to being violated, and we should protect it at the same time, you know, point it out to our neighbor that one day, I mean, or their talent will pop up, and it will hurt them as much as they have been hurting us, or the same way that we've been sort of pinching works from the Western world or from Japan and Korean. This is the same thing.
So in a sense, you're trying to develop a pride of ownership.
Exactly. Exactly. And the more that the governments in the region want to promote creative economy, then copyright have to be respect.
Well, we've been chatting with Trasvin Jitadicharak, who is the founder of Silkworm Books in northern Thailand. And Trasvin, as we close out, I want you to help give a picture for the listeners of the changing world in Thailand and throughout Southeast Asia. What does it look like when you see people reading today?
You know, I think it's amazing in the sense that you would see people with their smartphone or device at all the time. But I would like to let you know that my recent trip to Yangon, it's no longer a capital of Burma, said the biggest city of Myanmar, that I saw one young woman in her sarong, you know, the Burmese traditional clothing, on a rickshaw, reading her smartphone in a broad sunlight. But my feeling when I saw it, I'm worried about her eyesight and the entire generation's eyesight, that if everyone keep reading smartphone in a broad daylight, you know, we might go blind. The whole region will go blind eventually.
Well, we're always encouraging people to read, but not quite that way. At least try to do it with some sunglasses or something like that. Well, Trasvin Jitadicharak, who is the founder of Silkworm Press and a Digital Book World Fellow at this year's 2016 conference, thank you so much for joining me on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights licensing technology and content workflow organization. At CCC, we serve more than 35,000 customers and 15,000 copyright holders worldwide. We manage over 950 million rights in the world's most sought-after journals, books, blogs, movies, and more. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. I'm Christopher Keneally. Join us again soon on Beyond the Book.